Good morning. I'm Barb Mostaghimi. Children of God, siblings of Christ, the Holy Spirit has called and gathered us here. Let us worship together. Welcome to worship, no matter where you are on your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on K-Check Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled, The Healing That Hurts, by Pastor Jan. Registration for Vacation Bible School is open. You can register online, or paper registration forms are on the sign-up table in the narthex. In observance of Memorial Day, the church office will be closed on Monday, May 26th. On Saturday, May 31st, there will be an open house graduation party for Alexis Sullivan from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. at Zion. All are welcome to attend. Your financial support in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now, let us join in worship.
Good morning. Today I want to deliver a message from the Stewardship Committee about the United Church of Christ Strengthen the Church campaign, an annual offering that helps shape the future of our denomination. This year's theme is taken from Psalm 104, Great and Wide, a beautiful image that reminds us of God's boundless creation and a call for us to be bold and expansive in our ministry. That's exactly what this campaign is about. Strengthen the Church is an opportunity to invest in a church that is great and wide enough to welcome all, and great enough to respond to God's call with creativity, courage, and compassion. Your gifts to this offering are split evenly between the Minnesota Conference and the National UCC, and help fund the creation of new UCC congregations that reach people in fresh and inclusive ways, the revitalization of existing churches, helping them to adapt to new realities, like encouraging creative approaches to worship, outreach, and community engagement, and the development of youth and young adult leaders who will carry the church into the future. And here's something especially meaningful. This offering will be received on Pentecost Sunday, June 8th. The day we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. It's the perfect time to affirm our belief that the Spirit is still moving, still calling, still creating something new through us. So I invite you to give generously, not just to support the church we know, but to help grow the church we envision, a church that reflects the richness, diversity, and expansiveness of God's love, a church that is truly great and wide. Thank you for your faith, your generosity, and your partnership in this vital ministry. May we continue to grow in courage, creativity, and compassion as we strengthen the church together.
You were a father, a mother, a daughter, a son. You were a husband, a wife, a neighbor, a friend. You were a soldier, and you fought for us you showed us the greatest love one can show. When you gave all and laid down your life for us. Today, we honor you. We say thank you. And we thank God for you.
We gather here this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a world filled with violence and war, we gather together to celebrate the promise of peace. In a world filled with tyranny and oppression, we gather together to celebrate freedom and the promise of justice for all. In a world filled with hunger and greed, we gather together to celebrate the promise of abundance for all. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of heaven and earth. We rise now as you are able and join together in our opening hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Trusting in God's mercy toward all of us, we pray together now our prayer of confession. God of all nations, as we remember those that gave their life for our sake, let us be stirred to action in their memory. We confess that we have not done all that is possible to promote peace and justice in our world. Indeed, we take our freedom and quality of life for granted. We have not loved our neighbors, let alone our enemies. Forgive us, God of mercy, for our failure to live up to your commandments. Inspire and empower us to work for your kingdom in this world, and welcome us by your grace into your kingdom in the next. Amen. Friends, this saying is true and worthy of our acceptance. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. He personally bore our sins in his body on the cross, that you and I might be dead to sin and alive to all that's new and good. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Rejoice, we are set free. Let us greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Before we begin our time of prayer, I'd like to announce the new Minnesota Twins. Leroy Weil turned 90 on May 20th, and Annie Brazerall, the great niece of Ron and Rose Weil, was born on that very day, Tuesday, May 20th. Thanks be to God. Please also hold in prayer Stuart Kringen and others in our number who are recovering from surgery. Will you join with me now in a time of prayer? Gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of wisdom and understanding, joy in your presence. And we pray for the leaders of our nations, Lord, that you'll guide them in the ways of freedom, justice, truth, and peace. On this day, we pray also for those who continue to serve in the armed forces on active duty, that they may have discipline and discernment, that they may have courage in their hearts and compassion. We pray that you'll exalt yourself, Lord, among the nations, that your holy word will speak to the leaders all around this globe, that you'll establish among all peoples the peace this world cannot give. We pray for our enemies, Lord, though it is difficult sometimes to do that. We pray for them that you may turn their hearts to kindness, friendship, and trust. For those who are wounded and captive in this world, for those who grieve the loss of their loved ones, for those who are without homes, that in all their trials, Lord, they may know of your love and mercy. And even as we pray these things, Lord, we ourselves are torn apart by anxiety and mistrust at times. We long for you to break the bow and shatter the spear. And until that day, we ask your blessing, your direction, and your strength for all who take up arms in the defense of life and liberty. Be their very present help in time of trouble and in places of danger. And we pray for the servicemen and women who lost their lives in war, each one remembered by and known to you, God. And for those who love them in death as in life, offering the distress of our grief and the sadness of our loss, we trust in your goodness, Lord, and that one day we shall see them again. God of truth and justice, we hold before you all those whose memory we cherish. As we remember and honor our past, may we put our faith in the future you have in mind. For you, Lord, are the source of all life and hope now and forever. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brief announcements here that I'd like to make. The first concerns Vacation Bible School. Please, if you have children, grandchildren, neighbors who have children, please let them know that we're holding Vacation Bible School here at Zion, and that begins on June 8th. That's a Sunday afternoon. Be sure and let your neighbors know. We'd love to see more kids register for that. Also, Stu Kringen is at Haven Homes near Long Lake, Minnesota, and I think it's Maple Plain is the exact address. If you'd like his address to be able to send a card or well wishes, I can give you that address right after church. But please hold Stu and Sue in prayer as Stu recovers from bypass surgery. Let's continue in our worship now with the reading from Revelation.
Our scripture lesson today is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 through 11, and verses 22 through 27, and chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Excuse me. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of cities. On either side, the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. For the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and the servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, the 5th chapter. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has 5 porticos. In these lay many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The ill man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations upon all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 38 years. 13,879 days, to be exact. Now, that's a long time for anybody, but especially back in the first century AD, when the life expectancy of an ordinary human being was about 40 years. John wants us to take note of that number today. For the man in our story, a whole lifetime has passed at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for help. Now, that's long enough for that man to have shaped his whole identity around what was wrong with his life. For many years, I've always thought that this man was being described as paralyzed here, but the actual word translated means weakness, which means he wasn't lacking the physical mechanics to move, but actually lacking in the physical strength to do so. When Jesus looks upon this man, he sees not only the physical problem, he recognizes defeat. He sees a man whose spirit has been beaten down. The Pool of Bethesda, that's the anglicized version of the name, the Pool of Bethesda was actually a well-known destination in the first century. In Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, Bethesda means the house of mercy. Legend held that an angel would come and stir up the waters there. Whoever was first into the pool would be miraculously healed of their condition, meaning that there was just enough power and energy there for one lucky person. In this case, of course, timing was everything. But for this man, what began for him in childhood eventually became a way of life. We can all imagine this man's family early on in his life recognizing that debilitating condition he suffered from, bringing that young son of theirs to this place of hope. But one day, in the middle of that man's daily routine, a young rabbi comes to him and stands before him, posing a question that came like a lightning bolt. Do you want to be healed? Now, what kind of healer would ask a question like that? Isn't the answer to that question obvious? By that time, this man had missed every milestone of life. He had no courtships, no marriage, no job, no children, no meaningful connections to the rest of the community. None of the things that you and I would come to associate with a full and blessed life. Here's the question. Do you want to be healed? What would that mean? What would a life of healing and wholeness even look like for that man? I believe that question that Jesus asks is the key to understanding this story. Could a person who had suffered that long even be able to envision being whole again? In fact, a life of wholeness for that man would probably be terrifying. It would mean a life of decisions to make and new relationships and new responsibilities that he'd have to face. Do I want to be healed? Well, I have no one to move me, Lord. And every time I try to get in, somebody else gets in there ahead of me. You know, when we hear that man's reply, we kind of begin to understand what's going on in this story, don't we? This man has constructed a script, kind of like a narrative, to explain his situation. He's rehearsed these reasons for many years. This man's real weakness is not his physical inability to walk. It's his inability to imagine the future. And Jesus knew that. Because Jesus not only sees the physical problem, he also sees how this man has become a prisoner mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Years ago, I had a colleague that wrote a book, and it was filled with sermons that he had written through the years, and it included a sermon about the very gospel passage we heard about this morning. My colleague got everything right. except one thing. My colleague was a hospital chaplain, and he described this man as just plain stubborn. He was using his illness to avoid working. And over the past 40 years, I've heard that judgment echoed by many other interpreters of the New Testament. They highlight what they call the lame excuses of this man. He just wasn't trying hard enough. He wasn't praying hard enough. And to top it off, that ne'er-do-well had put all his faith in a superstition about a stagnant pool of water. In other words, my colleague and lots of others have said that that man didn't really deserve the mercy of Jesus. And he was right about that. But guess what? We don't deserve it either. We can't earn God's mercy, and yet we receive it still from the hands of a good and gracious God. Lots of commentators on the Bible hold similar opinions to that one, and without even realizing it, sometimes there's a certain measure of cruelty we Christians sometimes impose on people who are already suffering. That man's disability isn't just a physical one. It's come to affect every single aspect of his life. Emotionally, socially, financially. And most importantly, it's crippled his soul. He probably began with some hope for something better, but too often for people like that, it ends with the belief that all the good stuff in life is being grabbed by somebody else. Like millions of people in our world. Millions of people who hunger and thirst. This man is afraid to want anything. After 38 years, he's afraid to yearn and hope for anything better because that's simply going to set him up for an even greater pain and deeper disappointment. So before this man can stand up again, Jesus had to restore his vision. Jesus had to ask that question of him, even though it might open up an old wound. Do you want to be made well? This is a lesson for the ages. In fact, it's deeply rooted in every war that's ever been fought. It's also a lesson for the times we're living in right now. Sometimes without even really meaning to, we want all that mercy for ourselves. Or we may reject the healing mercy of Jesus altogether. And sometimes we blame the victims. They should have known better. They should have been more careful. And too often, world leaders shape their worldview around attitudes like those. And we end up supporting systems that actually reinforce the sickness and oppression that exists in this world. In fact, just this week, the news agency Reuters reported that a warehouse full of enough food for 1 million people was found to be rotting and full of mold. It hurts. It hurts to hear that. The food and medicines meant for starving and sick children going to waste. The support we promise to our veterans, our elderly neighbors, may be slipping away. Sometimes we're busy formulating policies around all the things that are wrong and broken about our world. We might even say, well, those people are just too far away. There isn't enough to go around. We're downsizing. They're too young. They're too old. The problems in our nation and in our world are just too big and complicated. But friends, that's when we hear God's question put to us again. Do you want to be healed? Do we? Not just band-aid solutions for a scraped knee, but the actual repair of the sidewalk where everybody keeps falling down. That kind of deep, expansive healing often hurts at first. It's costly. It hurts because we have to face up to hard truths. We might even have to discard certain beliefs we have about our neighbors in need. We may have to confront patterns of neglect. We may have to reach and stretch and grow into the kind of people, the kind of church, the kind of nation that our ancestors dreamed of. And that's never easy. It always comes with a price. Sometimes that healing hurts. Sometimes our healing demands a cross. The holiday that we celebrate tomorrow reminds us of that. Memorial Day is the only holiday established by grief, because the healing of our nation has come with great pain and sacrifice. Now, I do believe that the miracle in this story is about a man who had been unable to walk for 38 years, could all of a sudden rise up, take up his mat, and walk again. But I believe more than that, the miracle was complete when this man suddenly realized that he now had a choice between despair and hope. After that lifetime of superstition, his eyes were opened again. When Jesus came into his life that day, he suddenly had a freedom that he never even knew that he had, and the promise of better days. And here's that same vision writ large from Revelation 22. The leaves on the tree of life are for the healing of nations, and there will be no more night, for the Lord God will be their light. Let's bring that vision closer to home. That means that God can sanctify and make holy all the scars we try to hide. It means that God is going to sanctify and transform your pain, my pain too. The job, the relationship, the debt, the failure that was once your prison, God can turn those very injuries into a crown of glory. So here's the question for us on this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember our fellow Americans who died on our behalf. Do we want to be healed? On this national holiday weekend, we're called not only to remember and cherish our history, but hopefully we'll realize how far we have yet to go to ensure that our country, our democracy, will be in safe hands for generations yet to come. So Memorial Day isn't only about Gettysburg and Pearl Harbor and Saigon, but hopefully it will inspire in us a larger hope, a more encompassing vision for this country. A vision that our immigrant ancestors believed in and lived for and died for. That hope doesn't start in Washington, D.C. It starts right here with us. Because every single one of us is fighting an invisible battle every day. Everybody who strives for truth, that tries to do the right thing by people, those are the gentle warriors in our world. In fact, some of the most courageous people that you and I know aren't necessarily dressed in military uniforms. The heroes in our lives might just be our neighbor, our teacher, an ambulance driver, your friend who lost a child, your coworker who just got laid off. What if we did something more than mourn our fallen heroes and place flowers on their graves? What if in memory of them, we honored their sacrifices and continued their work of freedom? We could start by celebrating the wonderful quiet heroes who are already living among us. The brave people who've struggled and suffered much and yet still managed to carry on with grace. I want to close today with a photograph of my cousin Dwight. 2 weeks before the end of the war in Vietnam, on September 21st, 1972, Dwight was flying a mission over Laos on his way to pick up rescue American soldiers who'd been trapped there. And just before they reached the troops, Dwight's plane was riddled with anti-aircraft missiles and crashed into the dense jungle. At first, Dwight was declared missing in action, but our hearts already knew what our minds would not allow us to consider. In the weeks and months that followed, Dwight's mom, Mary, she went right on teaching high school, committed heart and soul to education, to her students. His dad, Don, continued farming that beautiful black Iowa soil in Linn County, committed heart and soul to being a steward of the land. Those long months of waiting turned into years. And finally, on September 29th, 1995, Mary Cook, now a widow, received word from the Pentagon that Dwight's remains had been found. 23 years of waiting, 8,000 miles from Iowa. For all those years, Dwight had been our hero, our missing hero. But so also were his parents, Mary and Don, who carried on with courage and grace all those years. 23 for Mary, 38 years for the man at Bethesda, 249 years of American freedom. Zion, if we can take anything away from these lessons for today, let's hold in our hearts the knowledge that by the grace of God, our nation is called to persevere in hope. And that even when our healing hurts, our suffering is redeemed at last by the God of freedom, mercy, and peace. Now and forever. Amen. Will you join with me in prayer?
We gather today as people of the United States, but more importantly, as God.
God of power and healing grace, deliver us from the bondage of our human condition. Deliver us from this world that causes us pain. May we now and forever accept Christ's grace and mercy. Grant us the power, too, to stand up and walk in your ways to the honor and glory of your name. Amen.
We gather today as people of the United States, but more importantly, as God's people. We take this moment to remember the sacrifices of so many in our military. They paid a price we wish that none should pay. They gave their lives. We hope that all who have felt the pain of this loss would know God's comfort and peace. And most of all, we want that peace to be felt in the hearts of leaders of every nation. We ask that God give them a longing for brotherhood, a desire for godliness, and a passion for peace. As we remember those we have lost this Memorial Day.
Will our ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Thank you, O Lord, for the abundance that is ours and for the freedom we have to worship as we choose. Let these gifts be a sign of our gratitude and faith and the hope that your goodness will be known throughout the earth. Through Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Amen. Please join together now in our closing hymn, number 591. Mm-hmm. go in peace, live in peace, and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. and we are also